Up next, we've got an interview with Greg Haas, the brewer at Stony Creek Brewhouse in Seward, one of our newest breweries here on the Kenai Peninsula. Greg, how are you doing today, sir?
Well, I'm doing wonderful. It has been a great day. I've actually had a chance to be out listening, watching a few people trying some beers, talking to folks here in Seward. We had a great run of bright weather, lots of crowds. Things are going well over here.
Excellent, excellent. So you guys are brand new, kind of just out of the gate. Describe your operation, what you got going on, what's your plans. So shoot.
Well, I'll tell you, we feel brand new. And in reality, this is about a four-year dream. I started chatting with some of the amazing folks who are running breweries here on the peninsula, as well as over in Kodiak, where we used to live. Got to know some folks and really got a sense for that when you want to dream about selling beer, you got to put some time into it. So we've got about a couple months under our belt of actually having taps here in the town of Seward. But about 4 years ago, we were able to start finding the property, talking to some builders, knowing that we wanted to get a home built for once I retired from the Coast Guard. But really, we wanted something where we knew we could find a way to kind of blend into the community. And with about 15 years of home brewing under my belt, bouncing between California and Kodiak, I realized that was something I really enjoyed doing. I love the social side of having friends come over and try beers, friends come over and learn how to make beers. That seemed to be a good way to spend the weekend time. Like my daughters enjoyed that. Typically, their friends' dads were the ones coming over, so we had a really big social groups of people coming by. And then after 20 years in the Coast Guard and I'd been in Homer and Kodiak and here in Seward, we knew this was a place where we wanted to live long term. I think the best part of the experience has been the friendships that I've made with the folks who have the restaurants here in Seward. Notably, a cookery was a great example. A wonderful chef there by the name of Kevin Lane. I got off the ferry and I brought four growlers, a different homebrew in, and I put them up on his bar. And we've just been chatting similar to the way you and I had Bill here on online. And Kevin had said, well, if you'd like to come by, sure. Put a few beers down, and he goes, I think we might have the future together. And steadily over the last 4 years, he sent me some emails and text messages asking me if I was retired, asking me how the brewery was coming along. And so that kind of continued to give me the motivation to work on this, because I know it's a big effort, and it's something that I was trying to do living in different places, but knowing that there were some great folks that wanted to help me get off the ground and get me started here in Seward, that was pretty exciting about it. So I think one question you also asked me was to say what size brew system and whatnot.
Yeah, so why don't you just tell us about your current system and your plans for the future system?
Well, sure. Yeah, so about eight years or so ago, I was brewing on a 10-gallon system that just about every home brewer has seen, with cutting tops off kegs. And had a few friends that were moving nearby and a few other friends that were interested in learning. And so I went out and bought a 20-gallon system and something that started our own little homebrew co-op. But it kind of was the ringleader for building recipes. So I've been brewing on this equipment now for about nine years. And it just makes good 20-gallon batches at a time. And our goal is to grow. I think anybody who hears 20 gallons for a commercial brewery can think, boy, those are some long days without a lot of volume on the backside. And that's what I've definitely learned in the past couple months. But it was part of the plan, was to see what kind of reception there would be here in town, and then and kind of mock up some growth. So I think a plan for a 10-barrel system is kind of in the works, maybe a 2 to 4 year plan. Sometimes my wife gives me some good encouragement to move a little faster on that. And it comes down to meeting and talking to some of the business leaders, the restaurant owners, and folks here in Seward, knowing that summertime gig. We'll ramp up operations in the summertime and kind of slow down and work on focusing on the locals, especially in the wintertime. So right now, 10 small batches, maybe some days where I do double brews. I ferment in 55-gallon food-grade barrels and get those fermented out and then kegged, and using, I think I got about 80 corny kegs that we keep a pretty good turnover on. I've been learning the tempo of the different restaurants, working with bar managers, working with corporations. But that's kind of the way the system starts, pretty small and ends still in the little 5-gallon cornies that we all know and love. And trying to get those out the door to the folks who run the restaurants who want to pair it up with the food.
Well, let's talk restaurants so people know where they can find your stuff. So you're on at the Cookery. You're on at Firebrand Barbecue, I believe. I think I saw that online. You on anywhere else besides those two places?
Yes, sir. Actually, we're working with Woody's Thai Kitchen here, as well as the Roadhouse. And then we're also talking to a few other places. And I'm trying to grow maybe one or two more places here in the next few weeks. And really what's been nice is each location has got some phenomenal staff. Everybody who's reached out to me has done so with their own experiences and the right kind of encouragement that I've needed, stepping out of the military into this kind of industry, wanting to just be a part of the economy here in Seward and on the peninsula. They've been teaching me a lot. But those four have been wonderful because some have beer gas and really long lines. Some have long runs without the glycol chilling advantages. So each place has taught me a lot about how to make sure I'm delivering them beer that is ready to go out to taps. But those four to start, we're starting to do a few growler fills here at the brewery. We're out on Stony Creek Road. And that's something on Thursdays is what I'm aiming for, but really just encouraging people to go down and see how we're pairing up the beer with the food in town.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that was going to be my next question is, do you, as part of this plan, when you go to the 10 barrel system, I assume another part of that is going to be a tap room. So that you can do more retail direct to the public sales, right?
Absolutely. And we actually had some initial dreams of putting it directly in the building that we're brewing in. We've got some ideas to change around some square footage that we have for a smaller one. That's all approved. Just need to maybe put a few holes in the wall to get the taps through. But a tasting room's in the future. But right now, this summer, my want was to look at it as a wholesale license, one where the folks who are really pushing hard to work with the tourists and the locals that are coming out and having the food, pairing up the beer with them is kind of the priority that I have right now.
Yeah, well, when you're only got a 20-gallon system, if you try and run a tap room, you could run yourself out of beer in like half a day. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So have you got any kind of for want of a better word, a beer philosophy? Do you have a particular styles of beer that you want to focus on or some that you don't want to focus on? I mean, obviously you're limited in the size of your system, but that actually can have an advantage in the sense that you can brew a lot of different stuff pretty frequently if you want to. So what's your, what's for want of a better word, what's your brewing philosophy? What do you like to brew?
I always love thinking about that question because what I've been doing over the years is kind of just listening to my buddies or listening to the friends or family members that were coming through. And I think it's very, conceptually, it's very rotational for me. I sometimes really like to brew a very clean style, knowing what kind of food. Going into a barbecue joint, I stopped by and was chatting with Chad, and he said, "Oh, I've been really wanting to work with you." Knowing that I was going to be putting food with barbecue on one end, and then down the Cookery is a very high-end seafood, very cleanly prepared meals, and then also having a Thai place. So there's a lot of diversity with the styles of food who are selling my beer. So what I really enjoy doing is putting the beer out that the owners get excited about, that the wait staff get excited about. Because those are the ones, they're the folks that are saying, "Hey, this is the feedback we're getting. We're sharing this beer with these great folks." And what we're hearing is that they're loving the pairing of this amber with the Thai food. They're loving this. We've got one beer called Baitwater, which is kind of my well beer. And Kevin's just like, "Greg, this is a beer I want to put with oysters. It's crisp. It's bright." So I'm learning a lot about the hops. But then right now we're actually getting into starting to be able to use some things that we're harvesting. So we've got a rhubarb beer and some different things, some fruit coming in. But really it's listening to the people who are drinking it and trying to have some fun coming up with new recipes or coming up with things that get them excited, going from there.
Well, you mentioned one beer. So what are some of the others that you have on tap at the various restaurants now?
Yeah. So I think with the Seward being such a tourist driven town, it's nice is that we get folks from all over the country, and with IPAs being as popular as they are, they've kind of evolved regionally. And so right now I've got a Thai Hacker IPA. It's a Simcoe and Amarillo based IPA. So you get that dankiness as well as the citrus, fruity tones. We also have the Baitwater, which is kind of an easy drinking light beer. And then another one, that we're working on is a lighter IPA where we're trying to put some spruce, getting some good, fresh spruce flavor into it. So those kind of are some of the house ones. There's a beer that I kind of spun off when I was living in California, the California ale, lager yeast, you ferment them there at ale temperatures. That one I've had pretty good success with in some different homebrew competitions. So I'm excited to see how that one goes over in town. It's a German style amber with a lot of Northern Brewer hops. And then one more that we're doing a dark one. So I took that same yeast and did a lot of the debittered, dehusked, roasted grains. And so that's called my Bear Mountain Black. And so it's a easy drinking, darker beer. And that one's going over real well with the barbecue. So it's kind of fun having each of the owners come in and try some beers, and then helping to craft some unique flavors that are going to go back out into their shops.
Great. Great. So if people are looking, I mean, obviously you said where they are, but the best place for people, you know, to keep up with where your brews are on and things like that is probably your Facebook page?
I think Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
Yes, sir. We're definitely, going to be growing here in town as the summer goes on. But, I'm learning how to use a little more of the social media. I think I've got a 13-year-old daughter who's wiser than I am, so she's been helping me out. But we're the Facebook, Instagram, those sites, as well as just reaching out to me through them is a good way to just connect if anybody wants to come by, see a small operation. I have heard from a number of really nice homebrewers. And so we're looking at maybe doing something in the fall once things slow down just a little bit. And then that way they can kind of see and talk about the evolution of doing something that we enjoy as a hobby into kind of an avocation, and then seeing if we get to build a business out of it.
Well, I'm hopeful that when you get your bigger system online and you've got the beer to spare, we'll see you over here at the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival in August or the Frozen River Festival in February. Have you had a chance to attend either of those in the past?
You know, I know that always been going on. My wife is a huge fan of festivals, really enjoys the social side, just seeing what people are doing. She enjoys all the swag, the creative art that a lot of the brewers put into how they promote their stuff, and we're really looking forward to getting to be a part of the Peninsula brewing community and the folks who have been doing it now for a lot longer than I have here around our that's why I love the Kenai. When we lived in Homer, coming up and down, stopping in Soldotna and coming through all the breweries and watching them grow, eating and whatnot. So, yes, sir, we're definitely eager to be a part of the events coming up.
Yeah. Well, like I said, even if you don't have any beer to share, you should come to the events and, introduce yourself, meet everybody and everything. It's both of them, in my opinion, are really, really good, really nice festivals. Just dress warmly in February when you come over.
Absolutely.
You don't need to be told that. You've been up here enough to know what the drill is. But, well, hey, Greg, is there anything else that you want to tell the public before we wrap this up? Obviously, hopefully, people are coming over there and checking out those restaurants and trying your beer. Is there anything else you want anybody to know?
This is just a great time to try something new. And the big part of why I feel good chatting with you and chatting with so many new folks is the encouragement and the support I've had from so many other breweries and businesses here in Seward, but broadly here in the peninsula. I was chatting with the brothers there up at Girdwood Brewing yesterday, and you know, we're looking at doing some fun stuff just for where I'm at, so small down here in Seward, but over in Cooper Landing, Grace Ridge, Keenan, you know, like this, the brewers are wonderful people, and so I think kind of my hope is that people are out trying some different beers. Just saying hi to folks like me is really welcome, and I love it. I'm grateful for the chance to chat with you, and I'm grateful for the way that the businesses are rolling and helping me get my foot in the door, and hopefully be a presence for years to come. But we're definitely looking to be a year-round operation. So as folks are getting into the wintertime and they want to, and they're coming through Seward to maybe do some of the activities that we have over here, or just coming in to visit our, you know, our snow. We had a great snow year, but the things we're doing, I'm really excited to be a part of, and I appreciate the time.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to getting over to Seward myself and trying some of your stuff. So thanks again for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it, Bill. Take care, and thanks for all the listeners.
All righty. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. We'll be right back with our next segment. Hey, up next, we've got an interview with Don Stead of Grace Ridge Brewing. Don, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. So, hey, big news. I had it leading off the news segment this month. You guys have broken ground on your new location. And I even saw the letter you posted so that you have permission to pour concrete. So why don't you tell everybody about it?
We're going to be located at 870 Smoky Bay Way here in Homer, 3/4 mile, 1/2 mile, something like that, away from where we are today, across Beluga Lake. And if you know Homer, behind Homer. I sized the building so that I could eventually get to a 10-barrel system. We are moving our existing 3-barrel system over there to get started back up again. And then hopefully next year we'll buy a 10-barrel system and start moving up that way. You'll start seeing more distribution from us. We're already in Country Liquors there in Kenai.
Yep, I see your crawlers there.
And we'll be moving up to 12-ounce cans. So we'll be doing some 6-packs and start distributing with those, a more user-friendly package, I guess I should call it.
Have you got your eye on a canning line, too?
Well, we keep talking to people, and everybody's pushing us to the Gosling, which would be perfect for us, I believe, because we're starting in on how to can and everything else.
Is that like a two-head manual or something like that?
Yeah, it's like a two-head semi-auto.
Okay.
Yeah. But we'll be able to do, I think it's 12 cans a minute on the Gosling, which is, you know, pretty good.
That's a good starter, yeah. So you broke ground now. This is a wise man once told me, in Alaska, gambling's illegal. That's why we hire contractors. But what's your planned timeline as far as, you know, finishing construction and moving your operation and everything like that?
Yeah, we do plan on moving into that new building in September.
Cool.
We are looking to exit our existing building. I don't want to say before the first, but we want to start September 1st and start getting out. So we will move into the new one in September, and we're targeting, might be fairly optimistic, but we are targeting reopening in October, the 1st of October.
Okay. What's your new square footage look like compared to your current square footage? Obviously, you're going to have a bigger brewery, so you got brewing space, so you have room for your 10-barrel system and tankage and everything like that. What's your tap room size going to look like?
Tap room is really up in the air, if you will. Right now, it's outside.
Okay.
So you come in and you'll pick up a beer. If it's really cruddy out, we might let you linger inside, but more than likely, we're going to kick you outside into an area that we're going to get licensed. Yeah, there just isn't a lot of room in this new space. It's amazing how expensive construction is.
Yes, I've heard some numbers quoted that they'll make your heart skip a beat. $200 a square foot and up from there. So, yeah.
This is way beyond that.
So, initially, you're going to have basically just a serving counter. You have to take your beers outside to drink. Long term, I hear you saying you're talking about moving into the 10-barrel system next year. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's what we're trying to do.
Go for the canning at the same time.
Yes.
Yep. Cool. Man, that's great to see you guys looking to grow and everything like that. So how has business been? How have you guys managed to weather the last year of COVID and everything?
COVID hit us not terrible like some places. You know, we got hit about 30% of revenue. So,
okay.
You know, but we definitely stayed alive, paid all of our bills. So we were pretty happy with that. And this summer has kicked off with a bang, and we're doing quite well.
Okay.
I certainly hope every other brewery is as well.
Well, I know, like, unlike some people, you guys, while you had some draft accounts, that wasn't your bread and butter. You guys are more focused on the retail sales of and crowlers and things like that. So that's good. That's good that you were able to not get hit that hard.
So we're definitely picking up, but with our current size, it is so difficult for us to do distribution out of this facility. It's just horrible. We do not focus on distribution right now. When we move to the new structure, the new building, we will focus a lot more on distribution.
Well, when you more than triple your production capacity, it gets a lot easier to focus on or to ramp up those kind of things. I tip my hat to you because trying to use a 3-barrel system and produce enough beer to meet demand in this beer crazy state. Obviously, I know how tough that must have been for you.
Well, we're doing fine. We've got 2 10-barrel fermenters and a 10-barrel Bright purchased. They'll be delivered in September, and we do have plans to triple batch. You know, we'll do one batch, get into the fermenter, get pitched, and then the next day we'll come in and we'll double batch for that same fermenter. And that's how we're going to work our 10 barrels right now. But we think that it's a doable process and keep us going and give us plenty of product to start moving. So we're all excited.
I bet you are. So I assume you're going to have to be closed for some period while you're making this move. Are you thinking about a month?
Yeah, we're thinking about a month. And, you know, my wife wants it to be a week, but I just don't see that happening. So it'll probably be closer to a month.
Are you guys going to be making it up here for the beer festival in August?
We are going to make the beer festival
in
August.
Excellent.
Yep. So. Yep, we are. We're getting ready. You know, we've got some really good beers on right now. Some stuff that I've resisted making in the past, and now I've got a guy working with me who's done a lot of brewing in a lot of different breweries in the state, and we've made a good hazy now. So we've made a great hazy. We just finished up a spruce tip beer, doing an imperial white. A lot of people loved our lemon tart, so we've done that again. So lemon tart's back on. So we've got quite a few specials coming through. Yeah.
So anything else going on that's coming up in the next? Cause it sounds like you got some good beers on. You got anything else coming up in the next month or two that you want to make sure folks know about?
I don't think so. You know, I mean, just come on down, try out our latest special and see where we got and enjoy the beers and enjoy Homer.
So you're going to make it, you said you're going to make it up here in August. How about Frozen River Festival in February?
I didn't catch that one.
You said you were going to make it up here for the August festival. How about Frozen River Festival next February?
Yeah, I've been to the Frozen River twice, and it's a great festival. There's no doubt about that, and I would love to try and do it again. Depends upon how well we're doing in our new brewery, I guess is what I would say.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll see you up there, and good luck on the construction. I hope everything goes smooth as silk, and you guys are, you know, make all your dates, and your move goes smooth without any troubles.
All right.
Thanks for talking to us, Don, and you have a great day. Well, that's it for this month's show. Our final quote of the month comes from the great W.C. Fields. Everybody's got to believe in something. I believe I'll have another beer. Enjoy your summer and take care. Until next time, cheers.
Is it